So, yeah, now that we're doing these episodes live, we have to predict what joke we'll make later on in the episode so we can still do that flash forward thing that we used to do.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I got one. Ready? Ready? Okay. Okay. A priest, a nun, and a rabbit walk into a bar and...
No stand-up comedy. I'm sorry, Adam. Oh my goodness, hello and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerd's Way. Whew.
Time is a fickle thing.
So what happened was we got in a time machine, we set it to 12 days in the future, and it was actually 12 months.
It has been a ride, I tell you now. I mean, really, for us, we recorded an episode like yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're just going to continue on. We're just reading up on all the changes that have happened in the world.
I'm so glad we missed all that.
We dodged a bullet, John, and we dodged a virus.
Truly, truly.
Oh, yeah. No.
So glad we avoided that.
But let me tell you now, COVID, 2022 is the next big one.
No, you don't say that.
Yep, and I'll tell you now, COVID-19 protects you from it. So, no, I'm getting...
No,
obviously
really
lying.
Bad.
Don't.
We're going to get arrested for saying that.
So, anyway, welcome, nerds and friends and family and all you awesome people. We're back. And we're glorious. I am now one of you fine people, one of those day walkers. So, these should be coming out... bit more regularly now, I'd say.
Wait, so you're no longer working nights?
This is correct.
Sleeping at night?
Well, I don't know about sleeping, but I am resting at night. Okay. Sleeping upside down in a cocoon of my own wings. But yes, yes indeed.
Are you a bat?
I was going more for a vampirism. But, you know, bat also
same
works.
Things.
Yes, but hello and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way, your one-stop shop for all things nerd and pop culture and awesome. Basically, we're happy to be back. We want to keep doing this. It's fun. We enjoy hanging out with each other. John, I'm sure, just loves doing all this editing and podcasting technical nonsense while I just come here and talk.
That was the announcement I wanted to make. Oh. You're now the official editor of Surviving the Apocalypse.
So prepare for a substantial drop in quality.
And another thing about Tenet, blah, 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 blah. Wait, Adam, you just put another clip from another episode into this.
Dang it. Oh, that is so frustrating.
I know.
But we're here and we are happy to be supplying you fine folks with awesome suggestions to read, watch, listen to, and dance like everybody's watching. So, I think we'll jump straight into some of the awesome subjects we want to talk about today. John?
Yes, thank you, Adam. So, as Adam was saying, we want to give you lots of content to consume and things to enjoy. Because, as we know, you can survive the apocalypse... Which, by the way, I think we established in the last episode, we're now in the apocalypse. We are officially preparing for it.
Mm-hmm.
We're currently trying to survive it. So, one of the best ways that you can help sort of fight and survive this apocalypse is by seeing as few people as possible, which is great for nerds.
For introverts and nerds, this is like paradise. I mean, when everything shut down, right, pretty much a week after our episode, everything shut down and my life didn't really change so much, but it was just blissfully quiet. Oh, the streets was quiet and wonderful.
Yeah, it really is. Now, we obviously don't want to belittle anyone who's been struggling or lost a job during this time. We literally just like to look at the good side and we happen to be massive introverts.
And of course, John is saying that, we certainly appreciate and understand that people have had a hugely difficult time in this. And you have our deepest sympathies in that regard. But we hope that this podcast will lift some of your spirits and you'll think, oh, I haven't read or listened to that or watched that.
Right.
I'm totally going to do that and lift your spirits and that'd be fantastic.
Yes. So, to start us off with, my first recommendation for content is actually the movie Tenet by Christopher Nolan, which you may not have been able to see in a cinema. We were very lucky in Perth that cinemas were open because we had no community transmission, which is just unheard of. In WA, we've been so lucky because we're so isolated and hate other people.
Most isolated capital city on the planet. Boy, nothing's coming here.
I think someone posted on my Facebook weeks before the coronavirus or months before of the world's best places to be in the event of a pandemic.
Yep.
And of course, pandemic is my biggest fear. So,
of course,
I was very happy that I was in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's all of this aside. This movie has nothing to do with pandemics. Although people do wear masks a lot.
They do,
the movie,
actually,
so
yeah.
I don't know, but they filmed it all before it was happening, so it wasn't it wasn't added afterwards as like a plot hole thing, like to cover up.
So, let's just make this relevant in today's society.
Yeah, no, that it was already part of the script.
No, but John hosted a viewing party here, basically, where it's like everybody must come and watch this and consume my new favorite movie.
It really is my favorite movie, and my sister got me the 4K Blu-ray.
Yeah, and you literally
Didn't have a TV that could play it or a Blu-ray player that could play it, or basically anything. So I ended up buying a 4K television and Blu-ray player and then inviting everyone around and charged them tickets so that I could afford these things.
It was a very expensive ticket. I mean, John, about I think like $400 a ticket. It was pretty steep.
Don't say that, because then someone could calculate that it's actually more than it cost me. No, I had all my friends around to watch this movie because I was like, a lot of my friends miss seeing it in the cinema because obviously it's a strange time for it to come out, and I wanted them to get as close as possible to the experience. So we took my daughter, left her in the hands of my mother to look after her so that we could turn my sound system up 100 times louder than it ever probably should.
Yeah, that was incredible. Your sound system's pretty damn good, I must admit.
Nice.
And it certainly added to it.
And then you made popcorn for everyone. So it really felt like a cinema.
I did make popcorn, and then the popcorn I was consuming, I may or may not have spilled Red Bull into that.
Oh, yeah. Adam has invented the greatest nerd treat.
It is the worst, I can assure you. Soggy Red Bull popcorn, it tastes like, how do I phrase it? Think of socks that have been steeped in Red Bull and then left to dry in the warm sun.
Ooh.
And then you just chew on that sock. That's basically what damp popcorn tastes like. It's not pleasant in the slightest.
That does not sound pleasant.
So, John, what's Tenet about?
Well, actually, it's a spoiler to talk about anything to do with the movie, so just go see it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, a brief overview, perhaps.
All right. So, imagine James Bond, but they took time, the space-time continuum, and put it in a blender. That's the movie.
True.
So, it is a spy-type action kind of film.
Yeah,
with the elements of time travel. But I'm not just talking like a time machine that they teleport
into
to different times or anything like that. Honestly, it's the most unique way that someone's thought about time travel
in a popular fiction context.
I think so. Probably the most unique, because it's basically based off that old line. You know, maybe if you've got a dad or something and he's and made a dad joke of like, "Hey, guess what? I figured out how to travel to the future. I can do it 1 second at a time." This movie kind of flips that and goes, "Well, what if you could travel into the past 1 second at a time?" So it's quite unique. I would have to say that you kind of have to see it to understand how that works. And even after you've seen it, you still don't understand.
I recommend, thankfully we had John here, because you'd seen it like 3 times previously.
I'd seen it, that was my third, so I'd seen it twice before.
So we, like after the viewing party, we were all discussing it. I was having a conversation with your sister, and then
It got a little bit heated of like people being convinced that the time travel had to work a certain way.
Yeah, it was fantastic though. I have to say that the acting was wonderful. So we've got Robert Pattinson, who is wonderful, I have to say.
Yeah.
He certainly adds a certain element to the movie, which is quite good. And I liked that storyline. See, this is the weird thing about Tenet, because you're right in saying, basically, if you reveal anything about the movie, then it's not like it's going to ruin it, but there are certain spoilers in regards to that.
Yeah, you want to have it revealed to you bit by bit.
Naturally.
It's kind of a weird movie in that anything that you say is a spoiler,
yeah,
but also nothing that you could say could spoil it, because it's such a hard movie to comprehend everything all at once.
Yeah, true. Which is why I would even recommend that multiple viewings are not required, but I reckon you will pick new things up every time you watch it. I do have a criticism, John. Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, what
so
is it?
As everybody knows, I love a good villain. Okay?
Yes.
And when I say I don't like the villain, because you're not meant to like a villain, obviously, but there are good villains and then there are just, I'm evil. And I'm not saying that that was him, but I really could not connect with this villain in the slightest. Yeah. That's not to say, but that's a thing. I don't think that the movie is heavily reliant on the villain, which is good. Like, as in, it's not a hero versus villain. It's a hero versus the situation.
Yeah.
With the villain kind of, like, in there going, like, oh, you know, I'm here doing stuff as well, or I'm controlling this situation and you're reacting to me. It was a really good... the flow of the movie is fantastic. And that is what I really enjoyed, the flow of it, because... Like, you can pick things out and say, like, yeah, I could see that coming. I knew that was going to happen type of thing, which watching the movie, you'll understand. But you'd just be like, there are such cool little things in that movie, like little tiny gems. But you are all over this stuff because you are on the Reddit forums reading about it. So tell us, what's the craziest thing you've read on Reddit about this movie?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, this has definitely been disproven.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's perfect.
But I don't know how much to put behind a spoiler barrier because you don't really know who is what.
True.
But essentially, the main character in the movie has a friend in the movie and you get to know them. And, of course, it's a time travel movie, so you don't really know when people met or when they have not met, et cetera, et cetera. He also has sort of a love interest, but not really a love interest, more like a care for interest.
Yep.
And she has a son. And the theory was that that son grows up to be the friend.
Oh.
And because of the time travel logic, he could go back in time grow up and then come to today. And that was the wackiest theory.
Yeah.
It has been disproven,
but
I think that was the wackiest theory
I encountered. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool. So definitely watch it so you can understand what we're talking about. And then come back and be like, well, obviously it's fake because of X, Y, Z. It's a trippy movie, I think. So there is one scene, my favorite scene in the whole movie, because it was just the special effects, right? So this isn't going to be a spoiler. So as you probably will recommend, as you will understand that this is an action movie, which means there is, of course, fight scenes or action scenes, right?
Yep.
So they're going into like this basic war zone, and time in this movie is just all over the place, right? Like, you are confused at this point because you're just like, where's this person going? What's that person doing? And so there's a scene where they're like, okay, we need this distraction. And so someone fires a rocket launcher at a building. And then in the past, someone's also fired a rocket launcher at the building. So the first rocket launcher hits and explodes the building. And then time, like from the other perspective, is rebuilt. Then it hits there. And it's just like it collapses, rebuilds itself, collapses again. The visual effects of that part was incredible. Christopher Nolan, man, he knows how to really, really in with that stuff.
And as we know, Christopher Nolan will avoid... using visual effects whenever he can. So we don't know for sure, but he might have actually built a time machine so that he could make this movie without...
I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. He is that crazy. Like, did he build rocket ships for Interstellar and they filmed it on location? Nobody knows.
I forgot he did Interstellar.
Yes. Yeah, he did as well.
Right.
So a lot of the scenes, he built the spaceship and he had projections out the windows so that it would seem like they really were in space instead of just having it in blue screen.
Yeah, yeah.
So he didn't have to add the effects later. There's all kinds of crazy stuff that he does.
Interesting. So what other interesting facts have you got about Tenet?
About Tenet? Oh, okay. Well, I guess they did close a real road to do the chasing car sequence.
Yep.
A real highway in, I think it was in Tallinn.
Oh.
So they actually closed the road. Now, if you don't know the movie, obviously there's some reversing time effects. I should probably say there's a tiny spoiler warning if you want to come in completely clean.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't really spoil anything in the movie, though.
You can get that from the trailers.
Story. Yeah.
So, what they actually had to do was, in the film, cars are running backwards in time, some cars are running forwards in time. So, a lot of the scenes, they actually had to grab the axle or the drivetrain or whatever it is and flip the gears so that they could drive in sixth, like first, fourth, second, fifth, whatever, all the normal gears, while going backwards.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that it would appear that the car is driving forwards, but going backwards in time. Now, that would worked for some of the scenes, but then for other scenes, it was actually just ridiculously too dangerous to do that.
Yeah.
So, what they did is they made everyone driving the cars normally drive backwards,
mm-hmm.
and the car running forwards drive forwards, and then they reversed all the footage. So, it looked like everyone driving backwards was going okay. normally forwards.
Mm-hmm.
So, people have actually shown this film of someone got an iPhone and was like streets away watching this thing of like they set up one shot, they drive all the cars forward. Then all these cars are just reversing down the highway.
Yeah.
And you can just see them like do one scene and then they have to reset and go all the way back.
Oh,
and they just
wow.
had to do this over
How
and over.
How much work? Man, goodness.
Oh, insane. And you would have to make sure if you were a stunt driver that you stay in the same position so that there's continuity of the next shot.
Yeah.
So they'd have to organize it. Oh my goodness. It would have been insane.
Christopher Nolan is like your hero. I'm sure of it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He really is. He is my favorite filmmaker. Now, there's something else about the film, which probably everyone knows, which is that he wanted to actually crash a plane, which also the scene has really good music, which is you've got a sample of there. He wanted to crash a plane. And so it was like, all right, here's what I want to do. I want the scene to look like this. And they were like, how much is it going to cost to do visual effects? And I want it to be ultra realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave him the quote for that. And then he was like, wait, hang on. And he like added up a bunch of numbers and he's like, but if I bought a building, bought a plane, got a bunch of safety people in and we actually crashed it, it'd be about the same price.
Wow.
And so
it was a real
plane crash. Oh my
That's
goodness.
That's incredible. The so one thing that did stand out for me was the choreography.
Yes.
So the fight scenes, once again, you've got two different time streams, right?
Mm.
And the choreography of like one of the fight scenes blew me away. Like I loved like the footwork and stuff like that that was going on. It was, it's very trippy to watch. Like it doesn't make you sick or anything like that, but it's just like, it's confusing because it messes with your brain because you're just like, that movement doesn't make sense. And you realize, of course.
It's very simple. Christopher Nolan, I actually heard the story of the guy who choreographed it saying what Christopher Nolan said to him. So, very simple. Are you paying attention?
Okay,
this is how it works. Christopher Nolan goes to the choreographer. He's like, okay, first, get two people, get them to fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
Film that. Get someone to learn that fight without the other person there.
Mm-hmm.
So, he does all the fight as if he was fighting that person. Then, reverse that footage. Get that person to learn that fight of doing it backwards. And then get another person to watch that fight and figure out what moves they do to defend themselves against that reverse fight. And then put the two people together and there's your fight scene.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay.
And the guy was just like, yep. I don't know what you're talking about. And he like was writing it down, trying to understand.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So sorcery. Okay. Got it. Dark magic. That's what's going on here. Fascinating. So, basically, what you're talking about is a whole bunch of... We're going to do a whole bunch of filming.
Mm.
What make someone else watch that film, make them make counter moves to that fight, and then just put all these people together and go, right, now beat the crap out of each other. Is that basically what you're telling me?
That you've oversimplified it a little bit, but yes, essentially yes.
Fantastic. So, Tenet, folks, do you have anything else you want to say on it? Because this is your favorite movie, so you've got to say something, surely.
It's not my favorite movie of all time. I ban myself from ranking the latest Nolan until
I see
the next Nolan has come out. So by the time Dunkirk came out, I realized that I still liked Inception better than Interstellar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So once
well,
the next...
Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Once the next Nolan comes out, I'll decide if Tenet was better than Inception.
I got a quick question for you. How do you feel about the ending of Interstellar?
The ending? What would you describe as the ending of that film? When he goes off to find the girl?
Hokey is what I would describe it as. I wasn't overly impressed with it. Like, I loved all of it up until the end, essentially. Like, and the end of the movie. Like, oh, aliens.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't actually aliens is the thing.
It was them.
It was the future of the human race realizing they had to take him back. But it didn't make sense because you then realize that, like, the four-dimensional future humans could have just said to him, they could have just said to the girl what the gravity formula was instead of making him go and tell it to her. But So I would say definitely could have been improved upon. I also think that the whole moon landing was a fake subplot line was hard to suspend your disbelief.
Yeah.
But cinematography wise, and then the middle act of the movie with the with the whole time running faster planet thing.
That was cool. Yeah.
That was amazing. Outstanding.
Like, that's a meme nowadays, you know, like the whole every second here is 7 years on Earth. And it's like, yes, we can wait out until we'll wait here for the Infinity War or whatever. You know that meme? When they're on the ocean planet and they're saying time travels slower here than on Earth. So I'm not going to explain the meme to you. I'll show it later on.
But there was a cool fact, which was the music. Every time there's a tick of the clock, that's a day passing on Earth.
And you
can just hear it like...
Yeah. That would mess... Yeah, no.
Oh,
Inception is definitely better. We'll just leave it at that.
That is my favorite movie of all time, but I haven't watched it in a while, so...
Maybe we should watch that. Okay, so our official verdict is... So what would you give Tenet... out of 10 without using 7?
9.
Wow, okay. For me, just because of like the supreme effort that was put in, I would also give it a 9 because it's a good movie. I don't really have any faults with it except the villain. I found like I couldn't relate to that in any way, shape or form. The villain, like his motive for doing everything. I just like, there could have been something a lot more impactful.
He just represents the side that you can see of the true villain.
Yeah.
And I think that it's easy to forget. And then he just feels like a forced villain when you watch it. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they had have instead made him a little bit more relatable.
Yeah.
But and ambiguous.
Not all villains have to be relatable though.
Really? So. Christopher Nolan avoids villains at all costs.
Yeah.
Like there's no true villain in The Prestige. They're kind of both villains. There's no villain at
Prestige.
All in, well, actually, you could argue that, I won't spoil Memento, but you could argue that there is a villain in Memento as well, but everyone kind of has their good sides and bad sides in each of his movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he does avoid it generally. Obviously, The Dark Knight is probably the Joker is considered one of the best villains of all time.
I've got nailed it there.
But perhaps not... for his motivations, it's for his lack of...
Well, he's chaos.
It's just chaos, right?
Yeah, so there is no motivation. Order versus chaos. So for me, it would be a 9 as well. 8.5.
Yes.
8.5, fair because enough. I thoroughly enjoyed
I probably would have only given Inception like an 8 when it came out.
Yeah.
So...
I'll have to watch it all
let
again.
Let it simmer.
So, all right. So, our next one.
Well, don't forget the sound effect. Oh, otherwise, you can't start the next segment, Adam.
So, our next topic is something near and dear. This is a series that is like 37 years in the making. That's finally
coming. 37?
It's long.
That's older than you.
Google it. I don't quite know. But anyway, it is a Horus Heresy, okay? It is a series of books in a series called the Warhammer 40K. Which was released in 1987. Thank you, John.
Oh, my goodness.
So, this is when the story started, okay? So, 1987 is, my goodness.
33 years ago.
33 years. So 33
I could have done that maths in my head. Yeah, I don't know why I was typing it in.
So, 33 years in the making. And honestly, like, yes, they've stretched it out to, you know, make them all up. But it's finally coming to an end, folks.
I cannot believe that.
So, at the moment, the reason why I wanted to bring this
up... Is it all of Warhammer or just the book series?
This isn't just the book series, mate. This is one part of the book series.
Oh.
This is called the Horus Heresy. This isn't even Warhammer 40K, technically. This is Warhammer 30K.
This is the prequels.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, think of it like that, actually. Yeah.
Warhammer 30K. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, so it's Warhammer 40K is what is known as the current timeline, and the Horus Heresy is 10,000 years previously. But anyway, so the reason why I suggest this is because it is such a massive universe, and those who are trapped in lockdown with nothing to do and you're trying to find something to look into, research, have fun with... Warhammer 40K, right? You don't have to worry about the miniatures, right? I tried the miniature stuff, but I suck at painting. I couldn't even... Yeah, it's terrible. Absolutely terrible. But the story is good. Imagine a genetically modified human that fires a machine gun rocket launcher.
How do they make...
This is 30K.
Okay, so they're 3D printing missiles.
Pretty much. It's called a bolt gun, right? and they have clips.
Couldn't they just call it a machine gun rocket launcher?
Well, bolt gun. You know, they've got to make it sound, you know, semi.
You've got to be able to say it quickly. It's like, get the bolt gun or get the machine gun rocket launcher.
Yep, exactly.
And you're already dead.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but I just wanted to talk about the Siege of Terror. Okay. So, Siege of Terror.
Sounds terrifying.
Yes, indeed. So, Terror is Earth. Okay. So, the Emperor of Man.
I thought you meant like OR.
Nope. Terror. So, Siege of Terror. So, the Horus Heresy is its culmination. Okay, I'm not going to spoil anything, obviously, but the War Master Horus.
I feel like I might not read the books.
You probably won't. So, very quick overview. The humanity launches what is called the Great Crusade.
Yes.
Led by, I guess it's 18, because two were lost, but 18 legions of space marines, okay, these genetically modified humans called Astartes. And they, in turn, are led by their 18 super demigod, essentially beings called Primarchs, which were created by this person called the Emperor of Mankind.
They're all human, or used to be.
No, they're from... Oh, well, yeah, I guess you were. Not the Primarchs. They were basically genetically modified from, like, inception, essentially.
From scratch. Okay.
Yeah, so, but when a young man, so, like, I don't know, like 9, essentially, they start training, and then they get all these implants and gene seed and stuff like that, and then it alters their physiology, and then there's a whole bunch of psychological conditioning. And anyway, regardless, so these launch out to basically take back the galaxy. Obviously, fun times ensue, where the galaxy is almost on the brink of being dominated by humanity, but then disaster strikes. The Emperor of Mankind returns to Earth, Terra, with one of the legions called the Imperial Fists. They return to
Terra. I already don't like them.
No, Imperial Fists are fine. They're good guys. They're fine.
I prejudged. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's all right. It depends on which side you want to fall on. So, anyway, so there is a... how do I explain this without spoiling everything? The Emperor of Mankind is working on a secret project, right, to basically save humanity. And so he returns to Terra to work on this project, and he instructs the Praetorian, known as Dawn, the Imperial leader of the Imperial Fists. He's like, you fortify Earth, okay? You make sure that anyone who attacks you is going to get obliterated. Cool. That starts. Meanwhile, Horus, who is appointed the War Master, the leader of the Great Crusade, he's like, you know what? I'm sick of this nonsense. I am going to be
heresy.
A bad guy. The Horus Heresy. And so he convinces some of his Primarch brothers to join with him to rebel against the Emperor of Mankind and go to Terra and kill him. And obviously, this is a long-spanning series with lots of stuff going on. But I
wanted I'm curious.
Yeah.
Obviously, long-spanning series, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Does it actually take longer in real life than it does in the books?
What do you mean?
Like, from day one of the books to the last day of the books, is that shorter or longer than what it actually was to release?
The time span.
Is it in real time?
So I think from the outbreak of the Horus Heresy, it does not take 33 years.
Huh.
So that's actually a good point. But anyway, basically the Siege of Terra is the second last kind of series of books that is going to be the end of the Horus Heresy series, which is pretty monumental.
The end of a heresy.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's... I just finished... So there's five books. So basically what they're doing, right? Earth is fortified thanks to Dawn. So each legion... Each of these 18 legions have a speciality, right?
Yeah.
And the Imperial Fists is fortification, like siege warfare. So he's like, the Praetorian, Dawn, is like uber, like clever when it comes to fortifying places. And so on Earth, Terra, there is the Imperial Fists Legion. There is the White Scars, who are all like, think of Mongol raiders. Then you've got the Blood Angels. And they're like... kind of like the heroes of the Imperium, almost. And so, what happens is they've got to stand against the whole might of multiple legions coming in and trying to massacre everybody and hold Earth for as long as possible because the Ultramarines are coming, right? This is the Uber Legion.
This is what I've seen from, like, cons and stuff. People are dressed up as Is that the Ultramarines? There's the guys in the big suits?
Those are the Astartes. So each of those have different styles of armor, essentially. So you've got the Ultramarines, and they're like the Uber Legion. They're like the gold standard of loyalist Astartes. So you've got the Ultramarines, you've got the Dark Angels, you've got the Space Wolves, my homeboys. And they are coming to mess up Horus's backside, okay?
Okay, up until now, I didn't even realize that Horus was the bad guy.
Horus is definitely the bad guy. But
you is it bad that I was sympathizing with
no,
him?
No, but you could. You could turn it that way, right? Mm. Because Horus's motivations is to kill the Emperor, because the Emperor is kind of shifty and kind of shady. And the whole, the Imperium of Man relies on servitude and basic slavery, which is a is one of the plot lines in the Siege of Terra books. You're following this group of people who are like, oh, yeah, we want to follow this cause. We're going to marshal with everybody else, but we can't tell anybody about things. We've got to stay true to the cause. And then it's revealed that these guys are actually supporters of Horus and try to kill everybody. And it is amazing.
That a massive spoiler? Whoops.
Potentially. Just be careful there, folks. But it is really good. I'd recommend it for Warhammer 40K. It's coming to an end. You've got time to read, 35, 80 books, whatever it is. There's a lot in Horus Heresy. And I don't know. There's just, you get some emotional stuff in there. It's like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I was just watching some of that before I came over. And, when Captain Holt is just, talking with somebody and it's, an emotional scene, you just can't help but be like, Captain Holt. And when a Primarch is like, you're going to do this or I'm going to, end existence, you're just like, ooh, okay, this guy's kind of serious.
Fiction breeds empathy.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Rothfuss. Warhammer 40K, Horus Heresy, The Siege of Terra is almost ended. And if you're wanting, I would highly recommend the Audible version if you're busy and out and about, because the narrating is on point, folks. The narration of that, Jonathan Keeble is his name, and there's a female, but she's not in it a lot. She's just one character. Both of them, I have zero criticisms of anything they've done.
Wow.
This is five... Well, I know he does a lot of the books. I haven't listened to all of them. I've read most of them. But he's exceptional. Jonathan Keeble. Keeble? Feeble? I can't remember. But he's phenomenal. If you've got time, you can get your first book from Audible for free. Okay? Siege of Terra. The first one is called The Solar War. Check it out. You will not regret it, except that you're going to have to spend the next, 33 years of your life probably reading it.
Wow.
Fun.
We'll see if he can beat 33 years.
Indeed. John, you're going to have to... What we'll do... I've got a game called Dark Crusade, okay? It's an RTS, because you like RTSs.
Yeah, Age of Empires 2.
This is basically...
Age of Empires 1, even.
Yeah,
great
right.
Great game.
Yep. Ooh, maybe that's another thing we can talk about at a future episode, games to play during lockdown.
Yes.
But anyway... If I'm going to, not now, but what I'll do is I'm going to tell you about the legions, okay? Mm. And I want you to think what you would be, what legion you'd belong to. What do you think your traits are?
I would say a bit of loyalty, but also wanting to build a legacy.
Okay.
Mostly I would be trying to be kind and trying to help people, but also if people don't agree with me, I might be a little bit angry towards them.
Oh, John, you've just revealed yourself to be a word bearer, which is...
What's that? Is that bad?
It's a traitorous legion, yeah.
Oh, no, but I was good. Mm-hmm. What have I done?
So the word bearers are like, oh, yes, all hail the Emperor. They try to treat the Emperor as a god, right? Which is basically what the Empire comes to. And then the Emperor's like, I ain't no god. Forces them all to submit because he's like an uber psychic person, like the entire legion, and makes the Ultramarines level one of the... No, no, they don't die. He's just basically forcing compliance from them. So you are a word bearer.
Yeah,
you're
that's
a
me,
legion.
Actually. Mm-hmm. I think not the traitor bit, but like someone imposing their will, and then I'm just like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
All right.
So check it out, Horus Heresy, and let us know your legion, because I'd be fascinated. Mm. Okay.
All right, so I actually wanted to talk to you about this, Adam, because I'm trying to convince you to watch this show in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Not that our podcast isn't real life, but
our podcast is not. It is. We're all part of the simulation, if that theory is correct.
I think we talked about that on one episode. Ever since that episode, we've been actually part of
You're the one who revealed it to me. The simulation theory.
Ready? If we whack the table and say the same random number at the same time.
Okay, we're doing this. Okay, ready? So, this is a test, okay? If you're in a simulation, thanks to Doctor Who. So, you whack the table with a partner, of course, and you say a random number. And if between...
Random 1 and 100?
Yeah, say what that. 1 and 100. And if you say the exact same number, you're in the simulation. And we did it, I think on air. I'm not sure.
I think it was. And it was the same number.
And it was the same number and we freaked out.
Okay, yes.
So, here we go. Right. So, ready? This is unplanned. So, ready? So, on three.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. 16.
38.
Wow. Okay. That was not real.
No, we're fine.
Okay. We're good.
There's no simulation. So, the show I wanted to talk about is actually, it's German. So, it's not in English.
Right. Okay.
But don't let that put you off. I know there's a bit of an argument between subbers and dubbers, I think it's called. Like, do you have subtitles or...
is it dubbed in English?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I started watching it. No one had told me it was in a different language.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are their lips not lining up? And I was so confused.
Yeah.
And I realized I was horrified and immediately switched to subtitles.
So, you're a subby.
I definitely am. Because the actors can really deliver the same thing with their face and their mouth. Even if you don't understand the language, you can understand what they mean.
Yeah. John, I'm a bit creeped out. What's going
on?
Yeah,
so this is the theme song for the show.
Oh, okay.
It's... I actually heard this song before I watched the show, and I was like blown away. I was like, whoa, I know that song.
When
theme song started. But it's very creepy. If I try to sing it to my wife, she gets creeped out.
I can imagine why. Yeah.
So this show, it's German. Honestly, they weren't that high budget of a show, but it feels so incredibly high budget. Like the cinematography is incredible. It's all in 4K. This bit where he whispers... I did try to do that to my wife and she was creeped out.
Yeah.
All right. I definitely should pause the music because I will get a copyright strike, but that's... That is the theme song for the show.
Okay.
Anyway, so it feels really high budget and they did it really well where they reveal stuff later on. So as they got higher budget, they could do more exciting things.
Yeah.
Where to start with this show?
Synopsis.
So, synopsis, a... child goes missing from school.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Suspicious circumstances.
Oh, okay. Right.
Everyone suspects something to do with a power plant that is in this like really small town called Winden in Germany. I don't think it's real because the word for disappear in German is something Winden. So right, I think they were like play on words of disappearing acts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You could probably look that up. I don't know. So he goes disappearing. Everyone suspects it's got something to do with this power plant because the power plant refuses to let the police come in and there's this whole ordeal.
Right.
But everyone is kind of like super strange in the way they're dealing with it because it reminds them a lot of a cold case from 33 years ago. Where another
33
boy,
is very important, isn't it? I can already tell.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, where another, the actual police, the main policeman assigned to the case, his brother went missing. And that was the reason he became a police officer.
33. I'm trying to go through my Germanic folklore to see if I know of any creepy, but nothing springing to mind straight away. But yeah, continue.
It's a very significant number to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, then there's an investigation that ensues, but they... are making absolutely no progress to try and find them. So then the story kind of follows that child and then also a series of increasingly strange events and more disappearances and all these kinds of things. And you're slowly revealing that for some reason, a bunch of characters know way more than they should or are way more involved. But you're also like, but surely they wouldn't do it. Surely they wouldn't kidnap a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, how does this all add up? So, as you're watching it, you're trying to piece together this things that have happened. And honestly, they explain a lot during season one, but some things you only understand at the very end of season three. There's only three seasons.
Only three seasons, okay.
There only
so, the
will
season
be,
has finished? Three seasons. The series has finished, sorry?
It's completely finished, okay. Done forever. They're moving on to other things. It's
finished series,
all resolved.
Good? Yeah.
Everything is answered, but you have to really think about it to understand how it was answered.
Okay. All right. I will investigate this weekend.
I highly recommend it. I would say I didn't enjoy it until... Are you hearing a strange noise or something? Oh, there's a piano.
There's a drone, yeah.
We could probably turn that off, but...
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, that's creepy.
Sorry, I was literally... I think my...
Oh, you have to hold it down.
My...
So, we're filming in my studio at the moment. I mean, mm-hmm. we're recording in the studio, which makes sense, but it's a music studio. So, Adam just put his elbow on a piano.
And it started droning and we're freaking out.
Yes, because it's a very creepy show. Honestly, I watched it first.
I'm sorry, with that whisper, the goodbye song you just played? Yeah, I think so.
Please put me to bed. Turn down the lights. It's creepy.
And that's what you whispered to your wife as you're getting to bed. Just make you sleep on the couch.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But yeah, I watched it while alone with the screen. Oh, man, it's such a good vibe. They do it so well for... yeah, anyway.
Okay, I will look it out. I am quite interested. You've already reeled me in with creepy, so you know I'm there. So it's kind of... What I gather...
I would say...
Is it's kind of like Broadchurch.
Yes. So, I would say if you took the sort of science fiction-y aspects of Stranger Things and combined it with the creepy detective story of Broadchurch...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
...and then multiply both by 1,000, mm-hmm. you'd end up with Dark. Oh, there. Plus add the strange mind-bending weirdness of Tenet.
Oh, okay. Ooh, oh, geez. All right. So, we've got a layered show there. Okay. I'll check that out. Yeah. All right. Maybe that's the... Oh, so I don't know. Another thing, listeners, that obviously we haven't done shows, so I have not informed our fine community. But, John, obviously a lot has happened in this year.
Yes.
In 2020. And one of those things is I got engaged.
Right.
I'll have to introduce you, of course. But that is a show. That sounds like a show that I could watch with my fiancé.
Yeah, I really want to meet your fiancé.
Yeah, yeah. I will have to have a guest on, I think.
Okay.
I'll bring her on one day and maybe you could bring on a guest as well. And we'll see.
Yeah, I'll bring on a guest and then you can bring on a guest as well.
Yeah, sounds good.
And then it can be like a 4-person podcast episode.
That's good.
Great.
I'm happy with that, yeah. But so, Dark, yeah, that sounds like a weekend show to me now, at night, with the lights off and in the cold, I think.
Yeah, so probably give it 4 or 5 episodes before you judge it. Well, okay. At least 3 episodes, yeah, I think, is the rule.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say if you have a weak disposition, some of the content in the show is extremely dark, hence the term.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not every episode.
It's not
like probably 4 episodes or something with lots of crazy scenes that are probably even too much for me. But so don't watch it with children.
Yeah. This is strictly not a child show.
But definitely not gratuitous. There's no nudity or anything like that in the show.
How many episodes a season?
10 in the first and then 8 in the other 2,
I think. Okay, cool. Yep. All right, sweet. Yeah. All right. So check that out. Dark.
Episode 6. Series 2 is my favorite episode of television that's been released in the last, 3 years or something.
That's big. Considering, you know, Doctor Who.
Yep. No, I'm fine with that. Doctor Who's the... Story for another time.
Yeah, that's another one. That's a different
3
one.
Years ago, they filmed that, so I'm still in the clear.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anyway. So, Dark, check it out. Do you know what it's on?
It's on Netflix. So, it's actually by Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first sort of popular German Netflix productions, I think.
I don't think there's many of them.
Yeah, so they're really internationalizing, and it's great. I like just getting that aspect of another culture.
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting. All right. So Netflix, 3 seasons. How long are the episodes?
1 hour.
1 hour. So you've got quite a bit of fun. So in the first season alone, you've got 30 hours. So, you know, you're fine with that.
And if you do watch it, I don't care if you know me or if you're just listening to this random podcast you found. Talk to me about it because I cannot get enough talking about the theories.
Interesting.
And like the insights of what happens in the show. I'm dying for someone to speak to about this show because I don't know anyone that's seen as many episodes as I have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, person that recommended it to me.
Probably binge watch it by the sounds of things. If it's creepy and it's got that weird mystery, I'm all over it.
See if you can also, after each episode, send me what your guess of what you think is going to happen. Because I remember the things that I thought was going to happen.
Yeah. All right.
That turned out to some of them were true, some of them weren't.
I'm excited. And so are you. so, yeah, I'll give updates. How about that as well?
Yes.
And we'll do that on the next couple of episodes until I've finished. So, yeah, that'll be fun. Any other closing thoughts on Dark?
I don't know if I can watch television anymore.
Because it's just at a high standard, is it?
It's set that bar way too high. Way too high.
Watch Dark or Dark will watch you. Oh, goodness.
That's probably... Let's transition. All right, so it's been a while since we've had a music section on the podcast. So
no, we had one last week, mate.
On what episode? Oh, right, for us, because of the time travel, exactly, the whole ordeal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what actually happened was... Actually, have I already shown this song on the podcast?
I don't remember.
Maybe I have. It was something... It was for what I did for the Westworld competition.
Yeah.
Nope, there's nothing here about Westworld.
Okay.
So, essentially, there was a competition run by Spitfire Audio on can you re-score a scene of the TV show Westworld, which is a science fiction from HBO.
Yep.
So, I was like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But in this episode, basically, people can reprogram their... I don't know, limbic system or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can space out with this program and someone forcefully reprogram this person by putting a chip in their mouth.
Okay.
I don't think I'm spoiling anything because if you watch the show, you'll be like, nothing in the show is anything like that because it's a very different thing that happens. But so because of that, you want to do a bit of a genre flip. Mm-hmm. At some point in the episode. So, see if you can pick up when that is. I mean, not in the episode, in the song.
In the song. So, this is going to be a full song?
I did lose.
It's going to be great. Oh, John.
I did not win the competition. Mm-hmm. So, for that, I apologize and I won't fail again.
So, sit back, relax, and enjoy this royalty-free song that John has made that we don't have to pay you for.
So there you have it.
John, you are a lyrical genius.
That is Wait, there were no lyrics in that song.
Okay, you're an orchestral genius.
Okay.
Oh, that worked well, quite well, actually. Orchestral. I like it a lot. So, yeah, give that a listen. We are live streaming as well, so we just had to explain during that point. If you are watching the live stream while listening at the same time, trying to get some stoner mashup going on. You know.
If you do want to catch us when we go live, go to twitch.tv/thenerdsway or facebook.com/thenerdsway.
Yep, indeed. So, Facebook is... But I think where we're streaming to at the moment. Are we streaming on Twitch as well?
No, I can only do one at a time. So, I tend to alternate. Mm-hmm. Twitch, you get more people, but also you get
Some weird interactions, to say the least.
As you probably remember from that one live stream episode.
The homeless man and the gay man. That was quite funny. Well done on that, John. It's a shame you lost, because I thought that was... When you showed it to me with the footage, because obviously you had to score a scene.
Yes, that's right. So there were moments where it went up and when it went down. That was all reflecting the emotion of the scene.
So you should, because we can't actually attach the scene to the copyright.
You can go to YouTube and search for, I think, John Oakley Westworld if you want to see it with the footage, mm-hmm. Because they gave me the rights, but I can't duplicate it onto here.
Yep, that's fine.
Because I do not have the rights for the show.
We do not. No, not yet, anyways. But yeah, give it a listen, give it a watch, and I'm sure John would love some feedback.
Yes, definitely. As well, if you are the person that makes videos or anything and you want to use exciting music, there's nothing from Westworld in that actual song. You had to create a unique song. So I still own the rights for that, and it's free for you to use.
Royalty free, John.
You can use it in the background of your next presentation, like on a Zoom call. You can be like, all right guys, we're gonna look at the numbers for January, and then this
something
music
truly
comes
epic
up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all copyright free, so there you go, my gift to you.
Very kind of you, John. Very kind indeed.
Oh yeah, I've got and to then, actually manually
but you know
button.
That's fine, I'll just stall, John, that's what we do best. Oh goodness. So I think John, there's something exciting happening.
Okay.
So
I'm excited already.
I'm excited. So I have spoken about books in this wonderful podcast that we do. Mm. And suddenly these books are getting turned into TV shows and movies. And I can't help but think that some producers are listening to our TV show, our podcast, because Good Omens, boom. What do you know? Good Omens is now a TV show.
Yes.
Right? And I don't know what else, but there is another one that I'm just going to quickly go over because I haven't finished a series.
Okay. Hang on. So what you're saying is we mention a book, movie producers are like, hang on, we need to get in on this. And they use our show to figure out what to make next, because I'd just like to point out that the book we've mentioned more than any other, Name of the Wind, they need to get on making that show, okay?
I couldn't agree more. Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to be scoring the King Killer Chronicles.
Are you for serious?
I am for serial.
Wait, now that I think about it, maybe I already knew this.
I think I might have mentioned this
previously.
Yeah,
you have mentioned everything to do with that show, so...
It's true. Well, it was funny because Rufus
said...
Because I
didn't... Okay, hang on.
Yep.
New information.
Oh.
Since the last time I did... I think I did know this already, but I've never watched... What is it called? Hamilton. I'd never actually watched Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Neither had I.
Oh, my goodness. So, we watched Hamilton.
We did. Another viewing party.
Mm-hmm. Not what I was expecting.
No, not at all. I had no idea it was rap. Not even a little.
No, neither did I. But so, now I'm expecting there to be like Kvothe and he's like got his lute and it's like...
No.
And yeah, I was walking along... That was way too loud. I think I actually burst the eardrums.
Sorry, folks. But yeah, you'll be back soon, you see. So good. Anyway, so King Killer Chronicles. That's not what we're talking about. Movies,
oh, right,
that's
yes.
Right. Yeah. It's not an episode of this podcast without a mention.
So they're making
of
a TV
KKC.
Show of a book that you've mentioned. Any guesses? I guess... the sword one?
The
Wheel
one.
Of Time?
Yes, that is one, actually.
There's a show about it?
There is going to be. They're in this one by Amazon.
Is there a book we've mentioned that there isn't a show about? All right, but what's the show you're mentioning now?
So this is called The Stand by Stephen King.
The apocalypse one. So our wheelhouse.
Creepily accurate at the moment because...
Is it about a virus?
Yes. Ooh. So the first part... So think of it the way I've always viewed it because it is a... I've got the unabridged book, right? So big old thick book that you can kill someone with, okay? That's how I judge a good book is if you could murder someone with that book, that's a good book to read.
Yeah.
War and Peace, masterpiece. No, not really. Anyway, so...
The Bible.
The Bible. So anyway, you have a virus. Oh, sorry, the book. So I always view it in two parts, okay?
Yes. I think, you've mentioned this before. There's two kind of sides to it.
No, the way I view it, yeah. But anyway, so the virus is obviously ravaging the planet. Mm. And I've only watched the first episode, so I'm only going to give a review.
Wait, it's out. You're not saying it's producing.
It's done. It is out. It is on Amazon Prime. Amazon's picking up all the shows we've recommended. So, all the series.
Where's our commission?
I'm going to be coming for you.
Well, at least a shout out.
Jeff Bezos, if you're rich enough, give us some money, okay? now we're not going to be able to stream on Amazon.
Anyway, yeah, whoops. Been removed from that platform.
Some Twitch owns
Amazon. Yeah, we're gone.
Yeah, oh, damn. Anyway, so The Stand. So I've watched the first episode, so I'm not going to spoil anything, but I'm going to give a brief overview. So the first episode, from what I can tell... Oh, no, I've watched two episodes, sorry. But anyway, so virus ravages everywhere.
Yes.
And the effect of it is quite interesting because I never viewed it as like in my head than what they've portrayed it on TV, but it's not in a bad way. Your neck, paunch, is that a paunch or is paunch your stomach?
Adam's apple.
Well, this whole neck kind of expands.
Yeah,
okay. You drown in your own phlegm essentially. That's what this this virus does. Captain Cripps, I think it was called. It's an unpleasant virus that sweeps the planet and just murders 99% of the population. And those that survive obviously have the genetic immunity to this virus. So in the first series, the first episode, you've got Stu Redman, who is immune, and you follow his storyline. Then you've got Franny and Harold. And their kind of adventure, Harold is a bit of a creep. They've changed, and this isn't actually a criticism. I think they've done really well.
Okay.
Because you've got to remember, The Stand was written in a different time period, of course.
Okay.
Right? So Harold was always meant to be kind of like a loser, all right? Overweight, and he was like a social outcast. So, but in today's society, those metrics have changed because of the progression of what the character was meant to become in the book.
Okay.
So they've recast it not to be an overweight person or something like that. There was a line that one of them used, and it's a very relevant and sad line, but they're talking about, oh, this guy's probably a school shooter. Okay.
Oh, geez.
So, they've kind of made him that type of personification, like that kind of level of social outcast, that kind of level of social grace, as it were. There wasn't, it's important for his character development. So, that was actually a casting choice of theirs that I found was quite good for a modern interpretation of that book.
Okay.
Wow. Technical stuff.
I guess it means we've moved on as a society and realized that we shouldn't make fun of or outcast people because of
looks.
What they're struggling with or their looks. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Obviously, there are still problems with society, but.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. but don't get me started on society, man.
Mm-hmm. But obviously, they had to kind of sex up the show because obviously they've recast.
Okay.
They've changed some of the descriptions of the characters. They've gender-bended some of them. None of it's not really... I don't really care about that stuff.
Again,
I'm not up in arms over that.
As long as
they've got, for instance, one of them, Larry Underwood. Okay, he's one of the characters. And one of his storylines was he's a white guy who sounds like a African-American, right? Like, he's a musician and he's, his type of song style sounds like an African-American. And So instead of just having a white guy who sounds like an African American, they just cast an African American.
Yeah,
didn't really bother me. So I'm just like, but I've
that's
seen
probably
some people,
smart.
Yeah, but I've seen people complain about it because like that's not in the books, and I'm just like, Harold's really fat in the books. That doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I feel like with that, you can change stuff, but as long as it doesn't make the story less interesting or compelling,
it doesn't take away.
Yeah,
it doesn't add anything, so to speak. Except I guess,
might later on.
Well, I guess true, but I mean. It doesn't take away anything from us as a, like as a, it doesn't take anything away from as a story, and it doesn't take away anything from just as a society essentially, but it can add to representation, which, you know,
yeah,
representation
great.
For representation's sake is an argument, but I don't think it's representation for representation's sake because Larry Underwood sounds like he's an African-American. So why not just make him an African-American? There's no other point in the story where it's like, oh, it's important that he be white.
Yeah, exactly. So you may as well change it.
And because
it.
It's a modern setting as well. But it's a from what I can tell, the first two episodes have been quite good. The casting of the walking... Oh, they've changed the name of one of the things. So one of them's called the Walking Man. He's kind of the bad guy, okay?
Okay.
So think about it from the progression of the series is going to be good versus evil. Pardon me. Good versus evil. Seems kind of bland, right? But it's super cool. I don't know if they're going to stick to the books in how it is, but it's basically someone who's very faithful in, Whoopi Goldberg's character. Whoopi Goldberg's in the series.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's the old African-American woman, I should say. And she...
I guess she is
Abigail,
old,
Mother yeah. Abigail. Perfect casting choice for her, like for Whoopi Goldberg in that position. Really good. And
she has an outstanding presence and like vocal, like voice as well.
Oh, definitely.
She's great.
Definitely. 100%. So I really enjoyed having that. I really wanted to watch another episode of episode three, but I was just like, I'm so tired. I'm not going to get anything out of this. But really good. Highly recommend it. Amazon Prime. And Amazon Prime subscriptions are pretty cheap. So, you know, you could binge a whole bunch of stuff on there. You know, if you're in lockdown and you're wanting something to do, Amazon Prime's like $7.99 Australian at least. So that's not too bad for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of entertainment.
Well, don't forget as well that when it comes to subscription services... Instead of going, oh, I've got to have Amazon Prime and Netflix and all this stuff, what you can do is the round robin technique.
Yeah.
Where you choose one, you do a month of that, and then you choose the next, and then you do a month of that, and then you stick to the shows that are on that platform.
See, I should do that, John. I don't. I will be, though, you know, saving for wedding and everything now.
Yeah, that's. I think that's a wise decision to do that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So
well, I noticed...
Mm-hmm.
The Stand. Any final closing remarks?
I have high hopes for it. I think it'll have a modern interpretation, so it's not going to be 100% faithful to the book.
Yes.
But I don't think that is something that needs to happen. I mean, the book wasn't a literary masterpiece, so it has room to evolve. So I am looking forward to how the... I don't know if this is going to be a multi-season thing or if it's just going to be one season.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm hoping it's just one season.
Yeah. Not another show to catch up with.
Exactly. So check All right. it out. Amazon Prime, The Stand.
Whew. Okay. Well, that's about all we had time for. We just wanted to do a quick listener email section. Adam is so devo.
We've been waiting for so long.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll have more time to do these more often. But,
yeah, for sure.
You know, with wedding and all that kind of stuff. Still got to meet your fiance.
Yeah, you do.
So I suppose we had a listener email recommendation from Bill Bartlett in, how do you say it? Salem, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
He recommended the Dark Tower series from Stephen King.
Yeah. And funnily enough, tie in, The Walking Man is in that season series.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, the Dark Tower, that's where it's a
Randall
portal
Flag.
Between universes or something, isn't it?
I think
it?
So, yeah.
Man, that's almost. A little bit creepy that he recommended it, and the next episode, dun, dun, dun. Dun.
And by the way, Steve, the Dark Tower is on Amazon Prime as well.
Wait, a series or do you mean
movie.
The book? Oh, movie.
Matthew McConaughey and
That's a
Idris
movie.
Elba.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Idris Elba.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, Idris Elba.
Idris Elba?
Is it? Yeah, there you go. Sorry, I don't know. I just know him as Heimdall from Thor.
I haven't actually seen that.
Yeah. But yeah, I am looking forward to doing more of these.
Awesome. All right. Well, as always, we're on, this is going to stretch my memory, twitter.com/thenerdsway_pod. I should probably look all these up to make sure it's correct. So you can go to facebook.com/thenerdsway, all one mm-hmm. word. You can search for us on Player FM as well. You can go to twitter.com/thenerdsway_pod.
Yep.
You can email us, please do. thenerdsway@gmail.com. As always, anything nice directed to me, anything
negative to me,
to Adam.
That's so, the way to do it. Just as a point, because everyone's kind of social distance and isolated at the moment, and there's a whole bunch of, you know, problems with that arise from not being able to talk to people.
Yep.
You want to talk to somebody, you want to exchange some emails, you can email us and I will email you back as soon as I can. Because
awesome.
I wouldn't mind having... We could set up like a pen pal project with email.
You know? Great.
We can pair you up with someone else in a different part of the country or world. And if you want, submit your email and we will not sell your information, I solemnly swear. And we can pair you up with another email, like just as a thought. Literally just came to me. I just thought, why not? We could try something like that. But if you want, give it a whirl.
We actually have a song on soundcloud.com/thenerdsway. Make sure you're sitting down while you're listening to it.
Because it'll knock your socks off.
Twitch.tv/thenerdsway is how you can watch us live. And then also you can find us basically on any services. You just have to search for us on Spotify, Stitcher, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. We're also on YouTube, but YouTube has long gotten rid of the vanity URLs, so you've literally just got to search for us. Our most popular thing we've ever done was, I think...
convention.
The convention was... it's my most popular video, I suppose. The episodes get more views, but... Mm-hmm. Our most popular video was going to the convention and interviewing people. So hopefully the vaccine comes out, we eradicate the virus, and we can go to another conference and make some friends.
Thankfully, here in WA, we can just do that anyways.
Oh, yeah, true. In WA, we technically can.
I mean, we had carols and everything.
There's no, like, guest. The guests have to quarantine.
Oh, yeah, the guests have to quarantine for 2 weeks. But anyway, regardless, send us emails, send us love, send us hate. It doesn't matter what. As long as you're venting your fury at us, I will grow stronger. John, you're an awesome person.
All right.
And we will hopefully talk to you very soon. John, take us out.
All right. We are in the apocalypse now, so make sure your bag is packed with the best books, movies, games, TV shows, Nintendo DSs, mandolins, so that you're ready to survive the apocalypse.
I like mandolins.
Continue surviving. Well done. This is one of the first episodes where we can say that if you're listening to this, unless you're listening to it from beyond... you've survived the apocalypse, great. So mm-hmm. well done.
We have done it, folks, and let's continue to do it. Social distance, wash your hands, and if you're going out, wear a mask.